What's up? Welcome to Mid Catch Up Podcast, Season 4 premiere. This is episode 76 with your host, Lofton, aka Mr. Hayes Adonis, in the building. And I got, you know, the correspondent of all correspondents, international. You know what I'm saying? She know them drinks. I was daggone around the way. We was kicking it. I was up in Philly, really doing it up. You know what I'm saying? We got Aaliyah in the building.
Hey, y'all.
And we got a wonderful guest that has blessed us with his appearance here on the show. You know what I'm saying? He is a business owner. He's a new podcaster. Got that popping off. He a father, son, husband-to-be, VIP of his own company. We got Calvin Hill, Shivery Revived in the building. What's going on with you, man?
Hey, how's it going, man? It's an honor to be here.
Welcome to our podcast.
Yes, we really appreciate you coming and kicking it with us. You know what I'm saying? You know, we already got to go ahead and hit HR. You know what I'm saying? Because we got somebody. He ain't clocked in yet. You know what I mean? I don't know where Rajin, because he ain't in the building.
And the crazy part is he's at right now. He's always Mr. On Time. You know, every time we get together for cigars and stuff like that, we always late, and he'll text us. Y'all always late. Y'all always be on color folks time.
He already getting it. Hey, season 4, we starting off, you know what I'm saying? So we got to see what's going on. We trying to make sure that we keep on that 7 o'clock. Maybe he forgot what day it was. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. But we up in here right now. We getting it popping. And like always, just like all the other episodes, so we got to start this joint off with the drink of the day. Gotta love it. It is a Tuesday, you know what I'm saying? We switched up the days. So, hey, maybe your Monday was straight trash. And you like, you know what? We got to keep going. We got to get through it. And this may be the get through it moment right now that we got going on. So I'm going to give you the first little drink of the day that I got going on. I did a little flip up. Not really a flip up. It's just a thing. I did a flip on a little gin and juice. So I got a little ice in here. Cut up some oranges. I like my citrus. Squeeze those up in there a little bit. Mm-hmm. I mean, my gin game ain't like Aaliyah's down there. But I have a little... I had a little New Amsterdam in there, just a little something to throw. I mean, hey, look, don't give me that face. Look, I haven't got my Hendrix yet. I ain't got ready. I gave it to you.
It ain't Malibu, so you know.
I'm gonna throw that in there a little bit. And then I've got the, I always try to go with the sparkling water. So I got the Mandarin Orange sparkling water. So it's my little flip on gin and juice. Instead of going orange juice, I got real oranges in here. I got the non-sugar, sparkling orange flavor water in here. So I got my little flip on a little healthy gin and juice. You know what I'm saying? That's how we doing it real quick. So Aaliyah, talk to me. What you bring to it? I mean, is it the same that we normally be on this?
The same?
We ginning it up today?
It's the same, baby. I got my little, you know, my good family came up to see me when they was in Philly. They brought me a big old bottle of Hendrix, and that's what I'm sipping on. It's Hendrix and tonic with a squeeze of lemon because sophisticated and things. And that's only mainly because I keep telling y'all, ain't no groceries in this house, ain't no juice in this house, ain't nothing in this house but gin and tonic and some wine.
Validated, verified. I know what's up. now I know for sure that is facts.
I really be telling people like I don't be in the house. I mean, I be home, but I don't be in the house. I sit in my lobby all day. I be down there politicking, drinking my drinks, carrying on with the neighbors. That's it. Like I be having a good time, and then I go order food or go out to eat.
Hey, look, I already know how she lives, so it'd be legit. So Calvin, man, tell me you bring something to the table. You know what I'm saying? Because we got to... Yeah. Oh, okay. All right, then. I'll spend a little time.
Oh, pinky's out, player.
Hold up.
It's been one of those type of days. It's been one of those type of weeks already.
I should have put a suit and tie on. Is that what
right? Oh, no. I feel underdressed.
Oh, man. So everybody out there talking to us, you know what I'm saying? Let us know. Hey, y'all, you know, drink of the day. Of course, I got gin and juice. Aaliyah's always on that gin and tonic, like always. Then my man came up here and brought that rich people. You know what I'm saying? You know, he was doing his thing. Doing his thing.
We got to step it up this season. I don't know.
It's hard to get that joint. You know what I mean? So, we out here. We out here doing the thing. So, everybody out there, hey, tell us what you got for the drink of the day. What your drink of the day is. Let us know what's going on. Yeah, hey, you know what's up. He's straight up on that. He on that CPT. You know what I'm saying? He on that CPT. I know what's up with that. So we're going to keep it pushing. We're going to keep it moving. We already hit that drink of the day, as you can see. Make sure, hey, hit us up. We're going season 4. You subscribe. You hit the bell. Friend and follow. Jump us on Facebook. Hit us on that YouTube page. Follow. Share that joint. Everything out there. We trying to just make this thing explode, get big, and do what it do. So we're going to start out, man. Hey, we got our guest, Calvin, in the building. You got to give us the story. Give us the breakdown. How this idea, where did you begin? Like, give me the beginnings, man. Tell me where it all began for you, you know, upbringing, and what was a situation that really turned something in your life to change direction?
So we're talking about, like, the chivalry concept, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Talk to me.
So I grew up in a single mother household, you know, and she told us, you know, the reality of life, and she taught us how to cook, clean, take care of ourselves, because her concept was, when you find a wife or a girlfriend or whatever it is, she must understand that you don't need a woman, you just want her. You can do everything yourself. And so, but when you get her, in order for her to feel like a queen, you gotta, you know, be a gentleman. You know, and she taught us chivalrous acts, you know, and we had to do it for her growing up. And to this day, I still am that guy that's yes, ma'am, no, sir, to every adult around me, my age, younger, whatever. If you're an adult, if you've reached 18 to me, yes, sir, no, sir, is just the appropriate way to communicate. But as I got older, I started seeing that it, you know, it wasn't a thing. And I would hear so many older people, because I like talking to the older crowds, man, it's the wisdom there. The young people ain't a lot of wisdom around my age group, man. So talking to that older generation, man, you gain a lot of wisdom. So, but they, when I'm conversing with them, and they're always, man, you got a lot of respect. You're a respectful young man. And it's just like, man, like, y'all just seem surprised. So it dawned on me. And then, like I said, I worked with youth for a long time. And I remember doing, we were talking, we had a group of kids we were mentoring, and we asked them, you know, the young man, like, you know, what do y'all know about courting women? And not one kid in that room out of about 40 kids knew what courting was. And when we left there, we talked about it for about an hour, man. It's just like, yo, these kids are lost. They will never understand, which is why the divorce rates are so high, which is why, you know, the households are so empty, because we've lost the understanding of how to be gentlemen. And I'm not perfect. I've made my mistakes in the days. But as we grow, the process of learning was key, you know, learning from it. But anyway, just seeing it so often and just so continuously and just so natural, it was just a natural, you know, concept. Like, you know, it wasn't required anymore. And so I was just home one day and I was just like, man, you know what? Like, no, I remember looking on, I'll take that back. I was looking on Instagram or something. I seen a shirt and I can't remember what it said, but it was like, man, that'll make somebody ask a question. So I wanted something that was going to require somebody. If I wore it, they would ask me what does that mean? And now it gives me a conversation starter.
Mm-hmm.
And whether it's a young person or an older person, and then when the younger people are putting it on, just because it looks fashionable, because it has colors and it goes with every Jordan wave or whatever the case may be. Now, when an older person asks you what it means, if you don't know, that person is probably going to tell you what you're wearing. But, and it also, every time I create a shirt, I create these cards that have, you know, different acts of chivalry on them that come in a package as well, just to kind of educate on the mm-hmm. concept as well.
All right. Got a question for you. So yeah. I got a question for you. So as you were creating this process, was there a certain thing, like what has been the most difficult thing to that you've used to kind of flip people's mind as you were talking to the youth? You know what I'm saying? What type of example have you given to like those youth to be like, okay, so they really see it and flip it and go like, yeah, this is the way to go compared to, you know, not doing these shippery.
What I learned, man, through my years of mentoring and working with the youth is there's only one way to get to the youth. And as much as people can try with, you know, the money, the flashy stuff, that's not how you get to these kids, man. You have to be relatable. You have to be relatable. When I was younger, I remember they gave me a mentor, man. And, you know, we were at home with no light sometimes and stuff like that, or whatever the case may be. And I remember people saying, you know, I remember this guy telling me, he was like, man, I understand why you're so angry all the time. No, you don't. No, you don't. You got a Jaguar, man. You going home. Your family's going to eat tonight. I don't even know how I'm going to take a bath tonight, man. It's, you don't understand where my anger coming from. So when I talk to these kids, and like the guy who just commented, Brandon, me and Brandon work together with the youth as well. But it's
shout out to Brandon.
Oh yeah, it's my brother, man. but yeah, we when I tell them like, hey man, I understand why you're upset, they understand that I understand. They understand that I'm relating to them. So they're in a more vulnerable state. So now I can educate you on some of the things. Hey man, listen, change your dynamic, change the people you're around, you know, change your mindset. You know, I understand anything. It sounds cool to be out here jumping from girl to girl, you know, like having fun. But here are the consequences of that. Here are the punishments from that. Here are the long-term effects of that. You know, and, you know, if you're going to do it the right way. Find somebody who's going to be a partner of yours. And that is determined by the way you treat them. So when you're out here and you're, you know, you're doing chivalrous acts and somebody's getting mad at you for opening up a door, like they don't need your help, then I don't need you. I'm sorry. You got it. Don't worry about it. You're not open to help. You're not open to this team, this partnership. So it was just, you know, those things, man, just, you know, seeing how do I put it? I'm just going to say this really quick. So I was downtown Orlando with the guys, Roz, everybody else. We are downtown one night. I'm a very nice guy. I don't have any intents. And so I can compliment somebody and not have an intent behind it. I can say, you have a beautiful smile, and not when I talk to you. You're not even my type. But I just feel like, you know, I don't know how your day is going, so this might uplift your day. And I remember saying it to this woman one day. I was like, man, you have a beautiful smile. I was just walking by, like, you have a beautiful smile. My man thinks so. I got a man. First of all, you ain't my type. I don't care what you got.
I ain't ask you that.
I don't really don't. You know, I would never give you the time of day. But the fact that a compliment triggers you that bad, it's just like, man, they're not used to this anymore. How do we reverse that? So that's really what it is.
Do you think, yeah, like you were, I know when we were doing a little pre-show deal and you were kind of explaining that the dynamic between men and women and not only men having to conduct the chivalry, but the reception of women in the chivalry. So like explain your thought process on that, that situation.
Go ahead. I'm gonna let you finish.
My fiance said they're gonna crucify me for this one, man. But she said they're gonna crucify me for it. But I truly feel like my motto initially was, and she won't let me use it, so I had to change it to chivalry's a lifestyle. But my motto was, chivalry never died. The women just stopped requiring it. And it wasn't no offense behind it. It was more so like, if women hold so much power in a relationship, reality is that, you know, they always say like the women are out here trying to appease the man by changing their body, changing this, changing that. Most of these guys are out here selling drugs. Most of these guys are out here spending their last check, going paycheck to paycheck, trying to buy shoes, trying to buy jewelry, trying to buy all this stuff to look a certain way that they feel like is going to attract women. Without that, it's one of those, you know, how do I put it? Like, if a woman, like we talked about it earlier, like, so for example, if you go on a date with a man and you stand at that door until he opens it, he's going to open that door. He's not just going to walk in there and sit down and enjoy a meal by himself. The whole purpose was to court you there. So he didn't go through all that trouble to get your number and you know, spit his game and, you know, text you for 2-3 weeks to not walk in that restaurant with you. But if you allow him to walk in there and you just walk in there after him, or you go up there and open the door yourself, then in his mind, she don't need me to do nothing. I'm good. You know, and then men become lackadaisy, man. Like, there's so many men I know who live at home in a house, you know, just no offense to you, gentlemen. Do your thing. I'm, you know, the gentlemen who are the how do I put it, the caretaker of the home without kids. but yeah, and then the women who allowed them to sit at home, you know, do nothing all day and be okay with that, you know, just go out and buy them a PS5 and let them sit at home and play games all day.
Tax season.
But buy them a new drawers and let them hold your car and not put gas. Woo! So it's yeah, those it's things, man.
Tearing
it's
that little funny. Ultima up. Oh, look shit! Oh, God. Look at what we got show. Us here.
A day late, hey. Dollar show.
What's up? How you been? Got called in traffic.
Hey, welcome to the party.
Hold up. Don't you work remote? He said, don't you work remote? You got called in traffic?
I feel some type of way. I ain't gonna lie to you.
You know that big ass mansion he living in. He had to go from one side to the next. They come from, yeah, he got caught up in the golf cart traffic over there.
Hey man, I had a family emergency. I'm sorry.
All right, hey, blessings to the fam. You know what I'm saying? Just don't use that next week because
exactly
then,
right. You know,
no. Hey, I was just online with Calvin and I had to hop off. So he'll tell you
that was over an hour ago.
It was a mercy.
Kyle said, I ain't lying for you, man. Stand on it. Your ass late. Stand on it.
It's all good. Well, we want to welcome for season 4, Rajim in the building.
Hey, co-host. Hey.
What's good? Season 4, let's go. Hey.
Let's go.
What you saying, though?
Aaliyah, look.
Yes.
You got the black bird.
It's on the bottom shelf, but you're still on the bottom shelf.
No, you know what?
But I mean, it's not Malibu, so I'm going to say that. I'm going to get you that one. It's not Malibu.
No. Let me say this one. I was with him when he bought that bottle at a cigar lounge. That boy paid $80 for that bottle.
What?
Ain't no bottom shelf like that no more. It has
why other- though? What I mean?
No. I will tell you this. I'm going to tell you this. If you pay $80 for it, you paid the fee for the cigar lounge. You know, getting it from the cigar lounge. Because if you go into any liquor store,
it's 24. It's 24.
Yeah. Woo! You
but anywho, let's get back to your chivalry. All right. All right, not Mr. AARP.
We were talking to Calvin, he was breaking down the chivalry breakdown. So, you know, based on your explanation, was giving it like, hey, you know, women aren't the ones that are being are requiring this chivalry to take place. And so, you know, we have a wonderful woman that's here on the podcast. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. She is knows these things. So I know that you wanted to say something. So talk to me, Aaliyah. Like, give me the rebuttal to, you know, saying his chivalry explanation. Because we want to make sure, not only that, yes, I feel like he has points, but there also is the counterbalance to that. Everything is, it's got a balance. So I don't think it's all one side on things. It's like, that's why men and women have play in this situation. So
they
from a women's perspective, talk to me about what Calvin brought to the table.
I will say this from Joe. I will agree with you that chivalry is a lost art, especially amongst those who are one, never had to do it, was never taught to do it, didn't even know it existed. And I will also say this, it goes, oh Lord, I'm trying not to attack you. You knew, and it's the first day. You know what I mean? I just want to make sure HR ain't gonna get on me because they already mad at Rods for being late. So I just want to keep reiterating that point. No, but I will say I will agree with you on some of the points that you made. I hear what you're doing as far as mentoring the youth. I will disagree with you when you say. You said your fiance pointed out they was going to crucify you for the statement you made to the point of women don't know how, like, I guess, to receive it. Can you repeat what you said? Because I want to make sure I get it right.
Chivalry didn't die. Women just stopped requiring it.
That part. So, to a degree, because when you do have women who require it. Mm-hmm. We're called bougie. We call you too much, you too extra. It's always something. It's not that. It's just that we have, those of us who do require it, we have standards. And if you're not mm-hmm. on that level, if you can't do it, or if you don't know how to do it, I will say the risk is greater for us to sit there and tell you we don't want it, we don't like you, or we don't want to be involved. The risk is greater for us using our voice to say no. You see what I'm trying to say? A woman, I don't know if y'all seen it recently. I guess a woman, decided she didn't want to be with this guy, whatever have you. He went up to the house and shot her in her face, 16, 15, 17, whatever it was. You know what I mean? Like, these things happen. So I think when you say we stop requiring it, I think a lot of us, a lot of women will just detach from the situation. Like, I don't even want to deal with it. If this is how it is, then this is how it's going to be. It's a lot safer for me to operate like this than it is for me to straight up be like, you can't give me what I want, or you're not giving me what I need or what I require. I will agree with you about the whole, it is a two-way street. You said about telling a woman you had, she has a nice smile, even though it was just, I do that all the time. You know what happens? People will assume that you're flirting with them. The only thing mm-hmm. I said was, I like your tie, or you look nice today. Okay, I see you putting on, you know what I mean? Oh, yeah. All right, now go out there and have a good day. My aunt, mm-hmm. you can't talk. You can talk after I'm finished because you're late. You're late. So,
HR suspended.
That being said, I get it. I understand it. I commend you for stepping in and doing your part to ensure that we are continuing chivalry, or that there are young men who understand what it is. But and I said to you before the show started, I mean, if they ain't going, bro, I mean, I'm not going to put no extra work in. Why am I not going to put no extra work in if it was that easy to get it? So, I mean, I grew up in a house full of uncles. So I guess is a bit different for me because I can see what it looks like from both sides of the fence. So
let me ask a question, right?
We ain't letting Razine talk. He can talk in an hour.
No, I'm gonna let Razine get in here after my man is, gives the rebuttal so he can give his experience. Growing up in chivalry, how it played in his life. Go ahead, sir. Calvin.
Okay, so my question was this, right? Speaking to her, mm-hmm. let's say, for example, you meet a guy today, right? Mm-hmm. And within the first first conversation, he's lied to you five times. Do you continue the next day?
Oh, no. You said five times. So, he wouldn't even got to the third.
So, prime example, right? So,
right.
When you meet... Chivalry starts at the door.
Amen.
Chivalry starts at the beginning. So amen. If you've gone on two dates with a person, they haven't showed you a chivalrous act, then do you continue to push that? Do you continue to pursue that?
No. And so that's why I said, I will agree with you when you say that, because there are, I don't think it's so much as women are trying to date men in that particular aspect, because my thing is if two dates, first of all, half a date in and I already see you, you won't get a second one out of me. We ain't even finishing the first, because I just don't have that kind of time. But even if you're going down, we're going down this path, then second, third date, you got to understand, I'm not dating you because I'm looking for you to be a life partner. I'm dating you because I'm thinking I'm gaining something out of being with you, i.e. free food or money or status or whatever have you. And so I think that's what the difference is. You got a lot of women who are caught up in this, what can you do for me? Because it's me and it's my baby. I need you to understand, if you can't be a whole full grown ass adult on your own, what am I sharing for? What are we doing? I'm not about to build shit with nothing. I'm not a construction worker. So
100%.
Hey, Ryan, but being a life partner, because you spoke to being a life partner, is completely different, because we're not looking to fulfill holes that were, that were incomplete, if you will. We are looking to see, how long can we make each other happy? You know what I'm trying to say? Mm-hmm. That's the point of the, for me, that's the point of dating. But go ahead, Rajin, since you know,
right.
I guess so, you're a co-worker or whatever.
You know, as you just got off of suspension. So let us know what's your experience with the whole chivalry game. You know what I'm saying? Like, how has this affected you? Where'd you learn it from? Or and things of that nature. Talk to me, man.
So first of all, I'm gonna give Aaliyah a shout out for her season 4 hair. I'm digging it.
Oh, baby, I just scratched my scalp. I gotta wash my hair, but continue.
So I agree with what Khaleesia said. There are levels, right?
Yeah.
And like I said, chivalry is definitely I agree, it's a lost art. But at the same time, you're dealing with a generation that, for example, this, I don't know if y'all seen a video just recently where a female said that you know, Red Lobster is not a date. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If we go to, like, if we go to, let's just say we, I'm being funny, but let's just say we go to Checkers and grab a to-go meal and we go out to the lake and make a picnic and sip on some, you know what I'm saying, eat a Checkers burger and sip on some wine, it's still a date. It just depends on who it is. It's a date. You know what I'm saying?
It is a date.
Look, hold up. Like, me and Aaliyah literally was having this conversation. So I'm like, yo, that's what's crazy. I'm like, had this conversation in Philly. Like,
yeah.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah. We had this whole conversation in Philly. Like, oh, it was. So I was like,
so there's levels. Like, and there is levels to this stuff. And depending on what type of female you meet, depending on what type of gentleman you meet, there's levels of chivalry. I find. You know, I've been. This is my brother, man, right here. And I've been, like I said, he said, I believe that depending on who you're talking to, and depending on,
sure is,
check it, definitely. Check. Depending on who you're talking to, and who you're dealing with, mm-hmm. there are levels. Like I said, like it could be common courtesy, or it could be we out on the yacht sipping the finest of champagne. You know, looking over the French Riviera or whatever, Santorini, both of them Greece or whatever.
Santorini.
You know what I'm saying?
Santorini is Greece and definitely not in the French Riviera. No, but I'll be sure to send my pics in summer.
I know what Santorini is. Thank you very much. But with that being said, like I said, it's one of the things for me, I feel like, and I've always said this, all jokes aside, I've always said that I can't call myself a king, and I consider myself a king, but I can't call myself a king if I'm not treating you like a queen. You get what I'm saying? Because kings don't associate themselves with certain type of people or peasants or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Or the maid, the little, what's her name? The dungeon maid or whatever, blah, blah, blah. You know, you get what I'm saying? So it's one of the things that I can't hold myself to a certain standard if I don't hold the way I treat you to a certain standard, is what I'm saying. You get what I'm saying? So when you say you get, you gotta stop letting
Amen, Jody.
If you haven't, if you got somebody in your life that's always wanting something to be happy, you know what I'm saying? If you want something or you gotta have something to be happy, you're not truly happy. Because when I ain't got it to give, you know what I'm saying, you're no longer happy. That separates us. You know what I'm saying? And they said, like, I don't believe a lot of people get pissed off with me about this when I say this. And you can, hey, if you got a problem with it, put it in the comments. I don't believe in love language. You know what I'm saying? Mm. Love language is people like, oh, I love language.
No, I believe in that, dog. No, I believe in that.
I don't wholeheartedly.
Yep, I do wholeheartedly.
I feel like somebody made a book, somebody riled up, just like Steve Harvey. Then talking about you can't have sex after 90 days, even though he was smashing. You know, it's just like I don't believe in love language. I believe that, you know what I'm saying, if you speak English, then we can talk about it. And keep moving.
Ooh, all right, Calvin. Based on that information, talk to me, man.
I just want to say one thing real quick. So I want to clarify something really quick, right? Two things. First one, when I started this, it was definitely not for my generation. My generation is lost. It's for that moldable generation below us. They're still teachable. They're still coachable. And I'm gonna say this, and I say that because you just mentioned that Red Lobster situation, right? And you see how the world and social media went in a frenzy on saying Red Lobster isn't a date. This isn't a date. But yet, a couple years ago, Beyonce said in a song, something, 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 take him to Red Lobster. And Red Lobster was packed.
Mm-hmm.
It was all on social media. Every woman wanted to take him to Red Lobster.
Her bag, swear.
At that point in time. So it's just, it's depending on who says it, everybody's so...
What she said was, if he me good, take his ass to Red Lobster.
Oh, so it, that's so what that, she said. Accept, so it's acceptable okay. at that point in time.
Okay.
No, 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 no. It was okay. always accept. It is acceptable at any point in time, depending on the female that you're dealing exactly. with. But that goes back to what I was saying exactly. from the from. When you got somebody who got their own and you got your own, you're not look. I'm not looking to gain anything from you other than your companionship, your chivalry, your, you know what I mean, your communication. I'm looking for a partner. I'm not looking for somebody to take me to Red Lobster every Friday night so I can run back and tell my girls, girl, he took me to Red Lobster or wherever they take people down with dates. I don't go out. I don't know.
The whole concept of when I talk chivalry, I'm talking about the people who are grown as adults.
Grown people.
People who aren't depending on other people. People who have gone out here. There's grown men out here and there's, can I say, can we cut? I don't know.
Man, let it fly.
Oh, well, if that's the case, then there's two different, there's grown ass men out here and there's niggas out here.
Yeah.
Period. So at the end of the day, I'm talking to these grown ass men out here who got their shit together, who trying to find a partner in a sense, or these young men out here who haven't had the opportunity to learn about this yet, and they still coachable. Before they become that nigga, before they become a nigga, let's direct you over here to these grown men and how we operate. So that's all it is.
Like, I mean, there's nothing wrong with niggas. Don't keep look. Don't be saying that.
You the reason. See, don't complain.
I'm just joking.
No, I'm just joking. I'm just joking.
They ain't growing right now.
But
no, I'm just joking. And I say that because, you know, as a real ass nigga myself, I don't know. I'm just playing. But I am. no, but for real. I think that we have this whole relationship thing fucked up to begin with. And because like you said, there's some real there's niggas out there and there's real ass men out there. And what separates them is the guidance and the mentorship into knowing and learning the difference between the two. What happens is, and it goes back to what you were saying earlier, where we have so many men outside of the home, you know what I mean? That you wind up. We got people growing up being sexy red out here, you know what I mean? And all these other things, you know what I'm saying? Okay. So when the women are like that and it goes back to the social contract. When you're out here talking about how you only out here trying to get it and I'm going to use my body to do this, that, and the third. So essentially what you're saying is you a higher price hold than the next one. Bet I can't afford you, but I'm gonna go pay $40 for the one I can afford, whatever they paying for it. I don't know, mine ain't $40, but whatever they paying for it, you know what I'm saying? That's what you remember. I'm just saying, you've already put it out there that this is what I'm looking for, this is the type of relationship that I'm looking for. And I think somebody said it where it was just like, if that's not what you into, if that's not where we you're gonna shut that shit down. You not who I'm looking for. You not what I want. Mm-hmm. Done. Why are we still dealing with each other?
Yeah. What's up, Ross?
Yeah, and a lot of times the females that do want this type of lifestyle can't afford that type of lifestyle. You know what I'm saying? So it is like, and then you got these cats that do that got a little bit of money that are ass chasing. You might well say what it is. You know what I'm saying? And they building these females up to something higher than what they really are. You know what I'm saying? It's like, if you can't afford to take yourself to Red Lobster, because it ain't that much. You know what I'm saying? Don't expect me to take
to you.
To I mean, you. It's relative.
So, listen, to you.
It's all relative.
You know what,
and to people who can afford it.
Right. So you can get a coupon for a long time, right?
Any day.
You've known me for a long time. I'm a big believer in, we used to joke about this a long time ago, but there's a lot of these, I don't know if y'all know what AAU is, or I'll just say youth league basketball, but there's a lot of a lot of these youth league basketball ass niggas out here who go to these women and they sell so many dreams and they tell them anything just to get what they want. But when a real man come around and he tells her that same thing and he genuinely means it, it still sounds like game to her. Mm-hmm. So these, I feel like these, there's a lot of niggas fucking it up for these grown ass men.
But it's a lot of hoes out here fucking it up for grown ass women too.
Hands down.
I mean, because at the end of the day, I mean, I'm gonna be happy if you can if you come to my house, with or tell me say, hey, let's go to Taco. I don't give a fuck what nobody say. Taco Bell is my shit, okay? But hear me out. Hear me out.
Yeah, emu meat ass shit.
Yeah, I'm a pass.
Okay, but you got to look at it like this. I'm more appreciative of a man who sat and listened to my conversation and who garnered that this is something that I wanted. Like, I know a lot of people was all after Russell Wilson after he took Sierra at the time she was still pregnant, took her to the Waffle House, brought out the Waffle House. That's her shit. That's her shit. He listened to his woman, his wife. I ain't going to just say it like that. He listened to his wife. This is what she wants. She ain't want no big old, you know, lavish Hollywood type of event. She's like, yo, if I could just spend my motherfucking birthday in Waffle House eating motherfucking scattered and smothered and however she eat her Waffle House. And he listened to that and did exactly that. That is so much more meaningful than you taking me to Nobu. Because you listened to what I said and you gave me exactly what I wanted. That's more important than I'm just going to take her out because I got the money and I could do this, that, and a third. She got her own money. It's not about the money. Why. It's about what you did. So
let me tell you why real quick, though. The reason why they had a problem with it is because it looked
ain't
good.
Ain't nobody do it for them.
It looked good when you go to, let's just say, somewhere fancy. We got STK, Steakhouse. All right, it looked good when you got your selfies and you're doing your pictures at ST Steakhouse. You know what I'm saying? You can post that on your gram and blah, blah, blah. But when you post Waffle House, nobody like, see what I'm saying? It's just like people care about what other people think.
Yeah, but undercover, you know they all go to Waffle House.
With STK. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you got a lot of people looking for that. Yeah, they looking for that outside validation. And that's something that you shouldn't be looking for. Outside of your relationship, you should be looking for that interior validation. Like, as long as your partner is happy with the way that you are treating them, you're paying attention to them, you're not paying attention to outside. And that's also one of the things I feel has been the biggest kind of issue with this next generation, right? So a lot of people are steadily on the gram, they steadily on TikTok, they steadily on those things. And that's what they are thinking the real world is. When there's only a small amount of people that are hitting these videos, even the thing is like, hey, even like for this show, hey, you know, we're trying to get bigger, but right now we a small entity within a small entity of a small entity, right? There's not everybody's making videos. It feel like everybody got a podcast, but everybody ain't got a podcast. There's a whole, there's millions and billions of people that don't have podcasts. So we are a small, very small fraction of people, and that's what's happening. Is no different than, you know, when hey, not to get political, you got the left and the right. There's only a small fraction of those left and right that are yelling the loudest, and that's what these podcasts, that's what the TikTokers are, that's what the influencers are. They are a small pocket, and this small pocket is dictating what the larger mass is deciding is the norm. And it's really not the norm, because if you walk around and you talk to somebody on the regular, that is not how most people feel at all. You know what I'm saying? But the young people, like you're doing with your clothing line and talking to the kids, Boys and Girls Club, you are affecting those people at that level because you can change them and make them understand that what they see as of the Red Lobster comment that the old girl had and everything like that, that's not real. That's not the truth. Yeah. Of how you really have relationships and interact with people. And it's made people interact with folks like that due to the fact that that's where they're learning how to have relationships. And that's the unfortunate part. But
well, the reality is ahead, social media is raising these kids, though.
Yeah.
Kids are raised on social media now.
Well, because they mama at the club.
Exactly. Exactly. No, that's a fact.
Daddy in jail, and the grandmama ain't but 42, so she ain't got time for they asses either.
She getting impregnated by Future. What are you talking about?
Grandma on TikTok, look, grandma out there, didn't it?
Well, I mean, hey, you know what I'm saying? I really enjoy and the background that you have and everything that you're doing, Calvin, and bringing this shouldn't be old school. It should be all school. You know what I'm saying? It should be something that should be from the past. It'd be something that should always be taking place. And I really appreciate that you are taking this head on and understanding that this can be a change for the future interactions, relationships, and how our society moves forward. You know what I'm saying? So for the interview, for I really appreciate it. And I hope that you stay on because we about to get into this newsy piece. You know what I'm saying? We're going to keep it riding, man. We really appreciate you. For sure. Jump in anytime while we hit these news topics because we're going to keep it riding. All right. Unfortunately, got to bring in some news that was kind of sad. You know what I'm saying? We had Ryan Gaynor. If you're not aware of their story, the situation is there was a 15-year-old boy with autism that was killed by authorities in California. A California teen with autism was fatally shot after a sheriff responded to a report of violence at his family home. The police arrived at the home around 4:50 p.m. on a Saturday after the report was made that the boy, Ryan Gaynor, was assaulting family members and damaging their property. When officers arrived, Gaynor ran towards them holding a 5-foot-long bladed garden tool, at which point authorities shot him, the police said. So they do have the body cam footage that's out there as well. It's seriously unfortunate the way that everything took place. You know, sometimes with certain type of conditions, autism, things of that nature, it can, you know, create frustration. Normally, that's kind of what takes place, is the person has frustration due to not being able to, for a better word, digest their emotions and the situation that's going on and lash out. You know what I'm saying? No different than a kid, but or a little kid having a temper tantrum. But at this point, you're dealing with a 15-year-old. You know, hey, I don't know the genetics. Kid could have been 6 foot. You know what I'm saying? Whatever's going on. And unfortunately, this was a situation that kind of happened. You know, they're still investigating, looking at the whole story and everything that was going on. So Aaliyah brought this to the table and it was something that she wanted to kind of speak on. So I'm going to let her start out first. Aaliyah, talk to me.
Now, y'all know this hurt me to my fucking heart. My nephew has autism. He'll be 14 this year. And I know there are times when he is having what we call an episode. It is just for some strange unknown reason. He's nonverbal too, so it makes it even harder. He can't communicate what he's feeling, what he's thinking, what he's going through. And he's 13, or soon to be 14. I cannot fathom somebody, whether or not they can talk or not, I cannot fathom somebody being on a spectrum and you automatically assuming this is a normal, quote unquote, situation. In my mind, somebody with a gardening tool, they said it was a bladed gardening tool. I want y'all to understand what a bladed gardening tool they was talking about is like a little scraper type thing where you're digging a little hole to put your bulbs in and everything. But at the end of the day, it's two of y'all and one of him. There's and the situation, where the cops was called, whoever the caller was relayed that it was assault and battery. He was beating up on his siblings. That was what it was. For whatever reason, him and his siblings had got into it. He was having an episode. The cops responded as he was having this episode. They shot him. Please be aware that what you consider normal, because I consider my nonverbal autistic nephew who for whatever reason, he's having a fit this day. He's upset about something. It's normal for me to hear him screaming about it. It's normal for me to hear him fussing, you know, back and forth. It's normal for me to see him running back and forth and you know, in a straight line until somebody calms him down enough for him to get whatever it is that he's feeling and thinking out. It probably is not normal for nobody who's not in that situation. I don't think it's so much of a blame the cops or, you know, they just scared or, and I just feel like cops get into these positions where they think that the first response is to shoot. I'm certain those cops have tasers. I'm certain they understand that one child against two full grown men who are trained to take down people twice his size, I'm certain that situation could have been handled better. And if you hear something going on at a, you know, and you know that there's a particular situation going on at that house, meaning you know that there's a child with the autism, a person with dementia, a person with Alzheimer's, you know, because this happens in all of those situations. If you know that's going on at that house, relay that to the cops so they're not coming out here thinking they need to bring SWAT when they come. That's all I can say about this before it makes me completely upset. So. That's all it. Right. That's all I got. That's all I got.
Well, Razim, have you had, based on this, just what I read the story or anything like that, having any interactions with, you know, children with autism or what's your thought process on, you know, this situation and how it was, you know, handled by the cops and also by, you know, those around and that called the authorities?
Man, first of all, As a parent, you know what I'm saying? It's just one of the things for me. It's like somebody said in the I think Jody said it. Cops are not trained to handle, you know, people with autism, different disabilities. They're not trained for this. They're only trained to go, you know, and stick their chest out, show some authority, and think that there's going to fix a problem. Yeah. You know, when you have somebody with autism, they don't see the world as we see the world. You know what I'm saying? And they don't, I'm pretty sure this kid didn't see himself as a threat to anybody. He was just acting out.
Or his family.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? His family, his mother, or whoever called, they didn't call for him.
Somebody else did. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So it's one of them things to where... It's, first of all, it's heartbreaking, you know, all jokes aside. It's heartbreaking to see somebody lose their life because of someone else not being trained. Perfect example, you know, three of us are military, been in the Army, been in Afghanistan, Iraq. You know, there's certain protocols that we go through. I remember being in Afghanistan and there was a little kid standing in front of the convoy, you know, and our orders are, you know, saying we keep going. But that's somebody's kid, you know what I'm saying? But there's protocols. You can't shoot until somebody gives you the order to shoot. You know, so somebody say, hey, it's clear to shoot, fire away or whatever. There's protocols in place to avoid these type things. And sometimes it can't be avoided if you're in a wartime situation. But when you go to somebody's house and there is a person acting out because they're distraught or whatever, you can't tell me that it can't be handled a different way. Yeah. Simply because I watch every single day. I watch shows like Cops. I watch shows like Blue Light, Live PD. I go back and watch these shows. And on every one of these shows, no one has ever been shot with a live ammo. You know what I'm saying? They got dummy rounds. They got rubber bullets. They got you know what I'm saying, with the bean bags or whatever. There's a way, there's non-lethal ammo to deter situations. If you felt like, and the cops always say, okay, well, my life was in danger. Your life wasn't in danger. You have a sidearm. This person had a dirt shovel. Your life is not in danger. Unless this person had an AK-47 or another sidearm, your life wasn't in danger. So like he said earlier, your training has failed you. Because now, guess what? Now you got to eat that. You got to live with that for the rest of your life. You killed somebody's child, you know? And then you got to deal with that for the rest of your life. That's a mental issue. But at the same time, the training you had in your workforce or your police force or whatever, it failed you. And it failed us. Now, I do believe that every police, what do you call it, precinct, whatever, needs to have a division of police that are trained to deal with people with disabilities, autism, blah, blah, blah. So when that call comes through and they say, hey, we have a call for, because this ain't the first time this happened. Last year it happened a couple times. You know what I'm saying?
The guy that was out in Colorado, I can't remember his name, but remember his little skinny boy. You know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know that one. Yeah, and it's like, you should be able to, hey, this person with autism, we need somebody at the scene. Like, perfect example, if you could talk somebody off the ledge for suicide, because there's negotiators for that, right? Mm-hmm. There's special forces negotiators that say, or people that want to kill themselves on the bridge, you got somebody coming, their job is to talk that person off the ledge. Okay, so the same thing, those people should also be trained to talk to a person with autism, or you know, get that person's mother there or whatever it needs to be to avoid any kind of situation that that person will perish or whatever. And so, you know, like it's once again, it's a failure of our police system in the United States.
Yeah. You know, and we gotta make sure that we're, but I would say I agree with you wholeheartedly on a lot of your points, but also as civilians, we also have to not be unwilling to put forth the training, and I mean everything come with a price. And sometimes it's like we really want something done, and we really want something to change. It costs. You know what I'm saying? So it's one of those things. Like, no, you know, like of course, like moving to Florida, I saw the difference from the way taxes kind of run, right? So being in the Midwest, hey man, if you buy a house that's a nice house, big house, spend that money on the crib, guess what, that property tax, I bet your schools is dope, I bet they got all this. I bet your neighborhood really nice, I bet your joint is really tight, I bet your police force is about that life. So but it's different, and like different areas have different situations, and it does cost to be able to provide those types of things, and we can't just wish them into existence.
No.
There has to be things that we have to do that. You know what I'm saying?
I get what you're saying, and I hear you, Hayes. But my issue with that is you spending my tax dollars to militarize the police force instead of getting you the division of people who need to respond to this. Because your response is, let me go send a SWAT team up in here because there's a domestic violence situation, and the only thing that's happening is, I'm just going to use this one thing as an example, because it happened where the lady called 911 because her two daughters was fighting. She jumps on and they fired the dispatcher because of what he said. So you want the cops to come and shoot your kids? Like, he was being facetious, but I understood the frustration he was having in this moment. You raised your kids to be the way that they are, and now that they're 12 or 14 or however old they were, now that you can't handle them, you want them to be our problem. We're not about to waste resources because you ain't beat your kids' ass. No, now they acting a fucking fool and you can't do nothing about it.
I'm ridiculous. And I totally understand that. It's just one of those things of being able to, like we always talk about, we got to step in them polls and go like, if this is important, we got to push the button. So that's the thing. It's like, you know, some people go, hey man, taxes, want them low, don't care, I don't touch my money, and they push that button. But some of the stuff is like, hey, where is the person?
It's important.
I'm gonna put the money here. And if you're not voting for that person, you got to,
because you're not voting for those lower level, that nobody votes at those lower level elections. And that is the issue, because that is those decisions that are made at those levels. You are essentially telling your city workers, county workers, whomever, how you want to spend tax dollars, and they take that on all the way up to the governors, the senators, and whoever. So as they're lobbying for money, and that money funnels back down, it's going to be spent on those people, whoever wanted to spend. I think we had a episode about this a while back, where I was saying, I remember going in there to vote, and they were asking me if I want to put money into the local school systems to repair like their playgrounds or whatever the hell it was. Fuck no, I ain't got no kids at school. So I voted for new libraries and, you know, bike trails because that, but you see what I'm saying? That's more useful to a person like me. I don't have kids. I already have to spend my fucking tax dollars on the school system.
Right.
So, you know,
Calvin.
And another thing is, go ahead, and then Calvin
to hit it up.
So, my bad, Calvin, just real quick.
No, you're good,
so man. We can't cop out. You know, we got money to do what we need to do. You know, like Florida, for example, we trying to, they had like so many millions and millions of dollars they were trying to figure out what to do with from tourists, like from the, you know, with tourist taxes or whatever. They couldn't even figure out what to do with it.
Yeah, shipping immigrants. So that's what they going to do.
Yeah, whatever.
You know,
just
kind of
like climb out or whatever.
I mean, y'all out here fucking trying to save the sea turtles who got high on the coke that got dumped out in the bay.
We got money to do what we need to do. We got 1,000 tolls. I can't go nowhere without paying a toll. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, you know, so we got money to do what we need to do. You know what I'm saying? But we not about saving. For some reason, you know, we got to vote because people are not worried about children. You know what I'm saying? All these mass shootings and stuff like that. It's like, you know, nobody really cares till it happens. Like right now, there hasn't been a mass shooting in 2 weeks. As soon as the next mass shooting, then everybody gonna be like, oh, well, we need to do this and do that. Like,
I don't know if I gotta send y'all this clip. I forgot he was here. I'm so sorry.
I'm listening. Because my mindset totally different when it comes to this, man. I'm gonna be honest with you.
All right.
I'm very biased when it comes to it. My mindset is made up. I have a 10-year-old son. I have a stepson in college, and I look at it like they are great young men. If anybody did something to them, it was because of their own selfish reasons. And I would sit in prison the rest of my life for that. I'm okay with it. My mind is made up instantly. I'm there. Yeah. I'm at peace with my life. I've done everything I needed to do. My family will be okay if I'm gone. I'm good. I will sit in prison the rest of my life if something happened to either one of them. And it's just, that's where I'm at with it, man. I don't care who it is, whether it's authorities for illegitimate reasoning or just
whoever
it is. I'm okay. Because for me, there are ways to reconcile that situation without
being
violent all the time. But I can't do it.
I think we all feel that way about our own. I think the issue is
outside.
You're not going to send that same grace to someone else's.
Right.
You know what I mean?
We want everybody to, like, I look at it like this. We want everybody to be good participants in society. You know what I'm saying? That's what we're looking for. We're looking for the next man, the next woman to be able to have that same grace, that same responsibility, that same feeling, you know what I'm saying? Being able to just take a compliment and be like, hey, that was nice. Somebody said somebody nice. You open a door for somebody. They always talk about like, hey, you know, they had the commercial. You open the door for somebody, you pass it on, right? You know what I'm saying? You want that to be a natural and common thing amongst all people. You know what I'm saying? And that's the same kind of environment that I feel like you're trying to create by thinking about, yes, you have the biggest influence over your child because they get to see how you act every day, right? You are an example because you are in front of them. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, hey, the way you react to a football game, you know what I'm saying, and go like, oh, you cheering for your team. What happens is usually your child or whatnot becomes watching the team, and they act the same way. And when they 5 and 6 years old and they watch you watch the game, they cheering with you like, oh. So they're learning these same mannerisms. So opening the door and all the other good stuff, you control that within your house, but it's being able to make sure that other people outside are seeing that, understanding that, and you want that to happen. And that's the part of that learning, that ability for, you know what I'm saying, the police to learn the right thing, people getting that education so that can continue on. And that's where, you know, just like anything else, I mean, hey, at a point, hey, we ain't making money on this podcast. People go, I ain't doing it for free. So it all money.
I said it.
Like, and money is something. Look, it's like if money calls things to happen, right? Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, you gotta input something to get something back. So that's just a part of it. You know what I'm saying?
And it is what it is.
Especially if it's not a situation where you can guarantee,
Ryan.
You can guarantee that any person's house is exactly like yours. Then you gotta daggone find something that there's a great example outside the house that is assisting you in getting that same type of experience and responsibility. That's all I got to say for that. But I think we got that one. Rest in peace, man. You know, that was unfortunate. Do better. Yeah. Do better, y'all.
Do better.
All right. I got another one for y'all. I will say we got another 15 minutes out here, but I got another one for y'all, man. I noticed this. You know, I was listening to another podcast. Sport podcast, always listen to sport podcasts and whatnot on the ride to work. And they were talking about how they tweeted something that said, man, I'm looking forward more to the women's NCAA tournament than the men's NCAA tournament as a basketball for y'all out there. I've noticed that the growth, the interest by all parties are starting to surpass some of the at least interest in male sports, male-dominated sports. As a college basketball, I've seen that. Of course, we've got you got track. Seen that. What else is out there? I don't know. MMA, women's MMA sports. That's been a thing as well. Like, do you feel that there has been an uptick? I feel like there's been an uptick, but I'm saying, like, do you feel that the interest level is starting to rise from women's sports to men's sports? Talk to me, Calvin. I like your face. How you was there going making it? Like, I mean, like, you was thinking about it. So talk to me.
I feel like it's facts, though. I wasn't going to say it, but I'm like,
you wouldn't be responsible if I just said, hey, I like your smile, then you're going to act some type of way? That's messed up, man.
I got you. I mean, listen.
We just talking about, like, I'm two cups in.
I'm going to need you to hold it.
But if that's how he feel, Roz, we going to mind our business.
No, I'm saying, like, I wouldn't.
Go ahead, man. I'm messing around, man. Go ahead. Talk to me.
I feel like, yes, people are paying a lot of attention to it. Mm-hmm. But I feel like people pay attention to it now because of the drama that's coming along with it. Let's just be realistic, man. Like, the same reason people watch these housewife shows and all this other stuff because of the drama, people like to see what Angel Reese is going to do versus South Carolina winners because it's a tough team and they're about to fight. People want to see what Angel Reese is going to do towards this person. People want to see who's going to get physical with Caitlin to see if they gonna knock her off her high horse. So people want to see. Now, granted, these are talented people, and they are talented at what they do. They can beat most men, I know, hands down. I love the sport, but I feel like people are now watching for dramatics. Like, they don't watch every team. Nobody has a favorite women's NCAA team for the most part. Like, most of these men don't have. If you go to a man cave, you don't see a women's NBA team banner in their man cave anywhere. But they do watch what's on social media. The highlights are on social media or whatever social media is talking about. I'm one of them. You know, when I seen that South Carolina thing, I didn't watch that game, but I saw the highlight. So I wanted to go back and watch it afterwards. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I got a question, right? So you talked about one thing that, and this is why I asked this question, right? Because most of it is that there is no drama in the men's game. There used to be drama in the men's game. You had things like North Carolina Duke. Nobody gives two shits about North Carolina Duke now because nobody knows who's on the team. Everybody just leaves. There's not no fights anymore. Yeah, you used to have physicality. You used to, in the NBA, people cared and you had rivalries. The rivalries aren't no more because they all friends. We're getting all the stuff that the NBA college basketball used to have because these women are now bringing the drama. And that's why I asked the question because
I'm gonna have to stop you right there. I wouldn't necessarily say they're bringing the drama. I will say what happens is they are just as competitive as you saw earlier on. And what's the difference is they are not acting and reacting the same way as you would expect, as they say, because ladies are supposed to act a certain way. Women are supposed to do this. They are breaking that damn, what's the word I'm looking for? Stigmatism. And now they're out there doing the very, what's that happening? Yeah.
I said that.
Yeah. That's true.
Say, I just want to say one thing real quick.
Uh-huh.
I got to say one thing real quick. So I'm going to ask y'all a question. I want everybody to answer it for me, please.
No.
Name five college athletes, period. Men, college athletes that are getting high NIL deals.
I don't. First of all, I don't know nothing about sports.
So, like,
I don't know nothing about sports. I don't know what that is.
The NIL deals are these kids. You know, college kids can get paid now.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I heard that.
Sponsorship money and stuff like that. Name five males who get high endorsement money in college, whether it's basketball or football.
Shador,
I couldn't even name five people who play sports. I'm not even going to lie.
You got Manning out of Texas. Which he ain't really did nothing, but he's a backup quarterback. He ain't paid. Let's see if I can name anybody else.
Nope.
Really?
Damn. I mean, I'm like, they ain't doing nothing for me. That's what I'm saying. Like, I Travis Hunter, my bad. Two Colorado dudes. I know that.
Facts.
Yeah.
Ronnie James.
Okay, well, he on the bench.
But we're just talking about getting
it. Money. So that's what I'm saying.
So prime example, right? He's sitting on the bench and he's one of the highest paid college athletes, right? These girls got to fight harder to get this NIL money. So they're not just giving it to them. So the game is a lot more aggressive for them because they're trying to get.
You got the gymnast. You got the gymnast at LSU. She getting paid. You got a freak, you got old girl from LSU.
She did awesome in the
You got old girl from Iowa. She getting paid.
Oh, she got she.
Paid. You got the whole team in South Carolina.
We ain't getting paid. Yet. Like,
so well, I don't need the name. So, okay, so prime example, right?
That sounds all that interesting.
Hold up,
He said the one girl at Iowa. The whole Iowa boys football team got trucks last year. They leased everybody who's on scholarship at Iowa got a truck to drive until they graduate or leave that school. Yeah. No girls sports team got that. These girls have to fight extra hard to get their money. So when they get into this game, they're trying to get their value up.
Get your vitamin C.
Angel Reese and Caitlin Gard, whatever her name is, they make more than the highest paid WNBA star does. In college, they're making more than the highest paid WNBA star does. So while the rest of these girls are in college, they're just trying to figure out a way to get an endorsement, and if that's by being physical or creating getting your name out there by punishing somebody or whatever the case may be, like that whole South Carolina team has become relevant because they are a force to be reckoned with. Mm-hmm. They are the old Detroit Pistons.
Whatever that means. I'm just sitting over here sports.
But I'm also looking at it like this, right? Due to the fact that and I really look at it like the NIL situation. Yeah, it's who brings in the money. Because a lot of those truck dudes, like you said, in Iowa, it's really relevant on who's bringing in the money, right? You don't have a women's football team that can fill that arena. But I can tell you right now, in Iowa,
y'all won't even let women play football. So let's start there.
They got to make this thing, whatever. But the ones that's making the money basketball-wise, in Iowa is the women's team. I can tell you that they the ones getting the dough in the basketball arena. Then you got
that one girl.
Well, I'm saying like people are going to the games. It's all about if the stands are full. So like
they don't get anything
it's revenue. Revenue is what's telling for even like for the football team. No, but I'm saying like a lot of that it tells you how popular something is. It's no different than this podcast. You have a million people looking at this podcast. You start to get endorsements. You start to get people that are like, oh, I want to pay to make sure that my product, because everybody's going in there and they're seeing it, that's going to help me advertise. It's all about advertisement dollars. That's why the NCAA and you have the tournaments and everything else. That's why CBS pays so much money. It's not because we love basketball. It's because the advertising. So when you have stadiums full and you go, man, Iowa has this full. Maybe if we put this on TV, more people will like it. Then the advertisements go up. Then that money goes up. Then that money, because Johnny Chevrolet down the street goes, dang, these people are popular. Maybe if I have them on my commercial, they will help me sell.
That's the whole point of the NIL breakdown of everything.
Which I get, but let me just say this. The problem is when you become a sports fan or fanatic, or whatever you want to call it, for a male's team, it's because you love that team, longevity. We talk about Iowa right now. When that girl Caitlin leaves, does that stadium stay packed? People are there to see her because she's the brand.
When she leaves that school,
if they can't recruit in another her, then next year they go down and they have a losing record, it instantly drops. Florida Gators are trash. They've been trash for a long time. Mm-hmm. People still go to watch them play. I'll see you up
but
there for the
school. I would give you the counter argument to that. So this is the situation, right? I look at it like this. When you have you look at women's basketball as a entity, you had dynasties that took place. And this is the first time where you're starting to get a little more multiple teams that are out there and they're doing something, right? So it becomes a situation where because there's a little more parity, because the skill levels are starting to rise, it's never on the level of men's basketball due to the fact that just like anything else, and we always talk about it in our community, hey, somebody else had a head start, right? Somebody else had a head start. We had to catch up. There had to be rule changes. There had to be laws. Hey, we couldn't go into this place. We couldn't go into that place. As of their sport, I think that has taken place as well. I was looking at the start. I'm looking at like, because this year has been very, like, I've been hearing more about players. I've been watching like Jeff Teague, you know what I'm saying? Club.
I love that show.
Love that joint. They talking about, and it was literally Jeff Teague that said this, straight up Indy, you know what I'm saying? 317, that's my dude. And he was like, yo, I'm more excited for the women's tournament than the men's tournament. Like, that's an NBA player going like, yeah, they about it compared to what I'm seeing. And that's the part where I'm like, do you feel like they're catching up? Do you feel like this could be a thing that continues on? So Iowa's situation is, hey, you got to go get another player that can do it like that. South Carolina got to keep getting the players. LSU got to keep getting the players. And the kids at a high school got to keep.
Men's sports have gotten soft. That's just, it's overall, man. I mean, it's still a thing. Like, even
NFL, I feel like y'all should just let them fight.
I don't like it.
Like, that was the only time it was ever interesting is when somebody got, like, the highlight reels when somebody was fighting. Like, that's the only time it was interesting. Right? Remember when somebody got punched in the face on the damn basketball field?
Court. There you go.
Got it right. So. Yeah, I'm just saying. One of those things. If it ain't a fight, I don't care.
If we're going to be talking about fighting, you know, last but not least, we're going to talk about, hey, who's going to win this fight? Hey, Roz, who winning this fight? God. Tyson versus Jake Paul. Who winning this fight?
Mike Tyson's a killer, first of all.
Don't be slandering my uncle, okay?
No, I mean.
Don't be slandering my uncle. Be careful with what you say.
Calm down, Kanye West cousin.
That's my cousin, and.
I honestly feel like Tyson's gonna hurt this, kill this boy.
He said that.
He said he was gonna bite his ear, and he bit.
And he is. You know what I'm saying? He's gonna bite his ear off.
He did not. What he said was, he was like, he basically don't know why Jake Paul, I don't know what the fuck it is. He pretty much told him he ain't here for his shit. And he gonna knock his block off, and y'all gonna see how old he is. So I can't wait. All
right. So can I finish what I'm saying? Thank you, appreciate it. So I feel like they're not on the same level of fighter. They're not the same level of fighter. You know what I'm saying? He hasn't fought. I mean, I don't think Jake Paul has fought anybody worth saying he fought somebody. He fought a couple guys that were in other sports and different stuff like that, and he got beat one time by somebody else's. Or was Tyson Fury's brother? You know what I'm saying? He not ready for Mike Tyson, and like I don't know if y'all seen Mike Tyson training lately. He's still a beast.
He ain't never lost it. Let's just put that out there.
I can't wait to see it. Honestly,
Get that Netflix. Make sure you get your steal your password.
It's all about the money, of course, But then there's rules. I don't know. I haven't read the rules.
Oh, I haven't read the rules yet. I haven't seen the rule piece yet.
You know, because Mike Tyson just fought a couple years ago. He fought Roy Jones.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Exhibition.
They fought.
He fought somebody else too.
Yeah. He just had.
Jake Paul is a heavyweight.
I mean, he gonna. I guess he's just not.
I just thought like my uncle used to fight, so I figured in my mind, I thought you had to be in the person's weight class in order to fight them. Because I remember when. Was it Roy Jones Jr. was skipping around weight classes?
Yeah.
So I don't understand like how
he's a Jake Paul. Last time he fought, he was a cruiserweight, I think. So he's not that far.
Like 100 pounds, 200 pounds, something.
Yeah. Well, cruiserweight is like 190. So then you got to be like 200 pounds and above is like a heavyweight, which is kind of great. So. And Tyson usually he fought. He was actually a small heavyweight when he fought. He was only like 210 when he fought.
But he was always a heavyweight when he fought.
Yeah, he was always a heavyweight. Yeah.
I can't wait.
Yeah. So they probably gonna be about the same size. Calvin, talk to me, man. Who you putting the money on?
No, one of them.
You gonna think it's gonna be either a draw?
One, man. Not that, man. I just feel like it's one of those political Vegas moments. Because what is the real reason for this fight? Like, being real, let's be realistic. There's no history there.
So if it was,
which I get, but I just feel like for me, man, it's just I don't know. Whenever Jake Paul fights, to me, man, it's a gimmick. He came from gimmicks and schemes and mm-hmm. social media. I mean, YouTube and all that stuff, just setting everything up and plot.
Yeah,
everything he does to me is a calculated move.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I wouldn't bet my money on none of that. Because I don't know the outcome. I can't predict the outcome on that because I don't know. For the right dollar with Tyson folding that, for the right dollar with he folding that, like, who, you know, whatever Vegas odds are, somebody, they both coming out of here rich.
Right. For sure.
So.
Yeah, that Roy, I feel like it's going to be a Mayweather type of situation where the way they've set up everything, right? I mean, with this fight, I would say you have one of the biggest, of course, social media people as of Jake Paul. You have, I would say, arguably still the biggest name in heavyweight boxing, right? I mean, you've got other heavyweight fighters, but hey, it's just like if Jordan said he's coming out of retirement right now, it'd be crazy. You'd be like, folks be like, what is happening? And he came out and gave him 22 a game. You'd be like, what, Jordan, is that dude? Like, it would be crazy, right? So, I think it's still the situation of, like, because he's that big name, they're putting it on Netflix. Netflix just got money. They out there going to spend money. And he said, and I feel like instead of them spending money on making a movie, which they just got to pay the money and then hopefully people come and stream the movie, they go, hey, let's put it on this live event so you can pay tickets for it. We can recoup some of the money. But then you drop, you know what I'm saying, I don't know, 15, 20 million on each one of them. You know what I'm saying? It's like, all right, you know what I'm saying? And determining who's the producer or who's going to be the manager or whatever on each side, hey, it could be more than that because you had things where Mayweather was doing his own production of the whole situation and he was walking away with $200 million for a fight. You know what I'm saying? So they could both be splitting $200 million. They both getting $100 mil. I'm doing that all day. You know what I'm saying? Tyson at 57, I'm showing up for that. You know what I'm saying? And Jake Paul, like, hey, this is the best.
What's the name of the man who's he's a kickboxer man?
Kickboxer man.
Or whatever the hell. And when they be in the cage. But he's one of them men. Whatever. And he fought Mayweather and lost. The Irish man.
You're talking about
Conor McGregor.
But remember, it was this big old fucking hoopla behind it. People was pouring money into it.
Yep.
And that motherfucker got his ass kicked.
He did.
Do you know on his Instagram, right after when he was flying back to wherever he was, that motherfucker had $100 million, whatever the dollar amount was. It was a lot of stacks. Mm-hmm. He had all of it sitting in his lap on his plane. He's literally said, I lost the fight, but I still got paid. It's like you said, this is a gimmick. I wouldn't be betting on who gonna win as much as I'm betting on this fight not gonna last beyond a third round.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like that's gonna be that thing. So I feel you. It's gonna be a gimmick, but you know what? I already got a Netflix subscription, so I'm gonna watch that joint and see what's popping. Like, I'm gonna watch it. I'm already paying for it, so I'm gonna watch it and see what's happening. So hey, let us know in the comments who y'all think gonna win when y'all play this back. You know what I'm saying? Doing your thing. We've got
TV with no wires behind me. The TV with no, I shit you not. There's no wires connected to it. It's just sitting up here on the wall. Y'all know I don't watch TV. Oh, look, Jody, my nephew brought me a plant.
She got a wireless TV.
Living in the future out this bitch, baby.
We got one last thing. I'm gonna say Black Excellence, man. We're gonna say shout out to Divine Joy Randolph for the Oscar winning Best Supporting Actress. You know what I'm saying? Black Excellence. She was doing her thing. She was a Best Supporting Actress in the movie The Holdovers. So if you haven't seen it, heard that it was good. You know what I'm saying? Most of the time in the Oscars, you're dealing with movies that are going to be more dramatic or, you know, all that other good stuff. You know what I'm saying? So go check the movie out. Hey, some more, you know what I'm saying? We got Black Excellence out there. You know, we want to make this a norm and not something out of the blue. You know what I'm saying? So, you know what I'm saying? Shout out to Divine Joy Randolph for her win as Supporting Actress in The Holdovers. Great Oscar-ness. And then last but not least, we always got to do this, man, for our vets out there, for all the people out there, you know what I'm saying? We want to make sure that if you have any issues, make sure that you want to talk to somebody. Your friends, your family aren't being able to meet those things, and you ever feel like you may want to hurt yourself, you know what I'm saying? Make sure you make a call to the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 800-273-TALK, 800-273-8255. You can't fix it if you're not here. And there's always the ability to fix and change your situation. It may take work. It may take some time. But you always have the ability to change your situation. Don't let that go to waste. Don't quit too early. Hit that National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 800-273-TALK, 800-273-8255. Man, we done did it, y'all. We done did it, y'all. We back up in here. So just let y'all know, you know what I'm saying? Me Catch a Podcast. We back in the building. Episode 76, season 4. We back up in here. We going to see y'all, man. Get used to the Tuesdays. Get up in here. Make sure you got your tacos. Make sure you got your tequila, your drinks, all that good stuff for a good Tuesday. We going to be up in here making sure everything is good for you. We going to give y'all that updated news. We're going to make sure that y'all get some laughs. We're going to talk a little serious. I mean, hey, tonight,
one of us might be late.
You know what I'm saying? Hey, sometimes people are going to get fined and got to go to HR in the morning. You know what I'm saying? That's what's going to happen sometimes out here. So,
I don't get fined.
Once again, hey, Calvin, man, hey, let everybody out there know where to hit you up and get your merch on your social media.
Oh, yeah, man. You can reach me on. Let's see, we got www.shiveryapparel.com. We got Shivery Revived on social media. I'm out here. I'm everywhere. But
hey, we really appreciate you, man. Cool. Go get that merch. Huh? Hey, you can make sure that you hit up Mid Catch Up, subscribe, like, friend us on Facebook. Hit us on
not
the
guest done told you to move up.
Do all that junk. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, make sure his bar is better to go. I drink moonshine all the time.
Oh, hey,
that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about.
You drink the bougie stuff.
Straight from the hills.
Wait a minute, from Florida? Moonshine from Florida?
Oh, no, it's coming from North Carolina.
Okay, I thought you had that Tennessee.
I'm gonna hit you up.
That's where my family be at. You know what I'm saying?
I got two girls.
Hey, get it popping. You know what's up? Let's get it rolling. So, hey, we really appreciate y'all. Mid Catch Up Podcast, episode 76. We're gonna see y'all next Tuesday. We doing a damn thing, and we out. Love you.
Tuesday.
Bye, y'all. See y'all next week.
Got a Lee in the building.